We begin the current daf of Ksubas Daf Pei. We begin on the bottom of Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, two lines off in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara begins explaining the Mishnah that we ended off with on the previous Daf. That is, the Mishnah said, although there's a Takans Chacham that the husband eats the Peiris of the Nichsim Log that a wife brings into the marriage, and therefore the expenses that he expended for her estate gets equaled out by what he consumes. So even if one is more than the other, it doesn't make a difference whether he ate a lot and he spent a little bit, or he spent a lot and ate a little bit, doesn't make a difference. Each one cancels each other out. However, the Mishnah concluded by saying, however, if he just spent money on his wife's estate and never even took anything for himself, then when he divorces her, he could swear how much he spent, and then he gets reimbursed for those expenses because he didn't consume anything. Now, Gemara begins and asks, V'kama kima, how much is a little? And that is, we said, even if he eats just a little bit of the peiros, so that already equaled out for the expenses that he spent. Now, however, if he didn't, then it's not. So how much is already considered that he ate, and that is he will not get reimbursed for his expenses? So Amr Basri says, Afala gregris achas, even one dried date, even if he ate that little, is already considered that he ate and he consumed peiros, and therefore not getting reimbursed for his expenses. However, he explains, Bahusha achal derid kavod. It's only if he ate it in a dignified manner, meaning not in a hasty type of eating as done in the field, but rather at home in a respectable type of a way, that's considered he ate from the payers, and therefore again, he will not get reimbursed. Now, Amar, as we continue on top of payment Aleph, Reb Abba, Amri Bey Rav, that a fila shigrid tamri, even dates that were squashed together, the way they press figs together a litra at a time, so to hear also is the same thing applies to the dates, that this would also apply if he ate that, is considered already achal kima and not getting reimbursed for the expenses. Now, by Rabibi inquired, chuvtza de tamri, what's regarding if after beer is made from, they used to make in Babylon, in Babel, they would make beer out of dates. So after they made the beer, then there's the residue from the dates are left over. Or another interpretation of Rashi is that after it's made beer with it, it's pressed a lot. So that remnant of those dates, my, what's halacha? Let's he consume that. Is that even considered significant enough of a consumption to say that he ate peiros that he will not get reimbursed for his tzais? My, what's halacha? And the Gemara says, take her there, let it stand. It's not clear if that's even considered an eichel kima to equal out the expenses that he spent. Now the Gemara asks, but loy ochel derech kavod mai. What's the halacha? How much does a person have to eat if he didn't eat in a dignified manner? Everything that we set up until now was told that if he ate it in a dignified manner, then even though it's so little, it's considered dead consumption. But let's say you didn't. Let's say it was in the field in a hasty type of way. How much would be the minimum to be considered a consumption? So Ula says, plig batri amirah b'marava. Actually, that there's a machlekes regarding it. Two different amirahim in Eretz Yisrael. Chadam abiki iser. One says it has to be the amount that's at the value of of an iser, which is the amount of money. Chadam abiki dinner. One says the amount of a dinner. Amri Dayani de Pumbedisa, the judges of Pumbedisa, who is actually referenced as the Gemara says himself, Sanhedrin Torah, Papa Bar Shmuel, he said that Avad Rabbi Yehuda Uvda, Rabbi Yehuda actually followed through on this halacha, that he considered it to be consumption, but Chavili Zmairis, even with the pieces of wood, the branches of grapevines, where that's food that's used as fodder for elephants, and if a person went and fed, if the husband went and fed from his wife's estate to his animals just the vines themselves, and then he divorces his wife, and that Rabbi Yehuda said that the consumption that he has consumed is masha ochel ochel, and masha hoitzi hoitzi does not get reimbursed for the expenses that he spent in his wife's estate, even by just using the branches of the grapevines for his animal. And the Gemara explains, Rabbi Huda goes actually according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere. Dam Rabbi Huda, like Rabbi Huda says, he says, Acholah, if a purchaser eats the produce of a field, even during the years of Arla, which is the first 3 years of a tree, it's forbidden for a person to have any pleasure from the fruits, but the person can utilize the branches themselves. Or let's say during Shavuos, during a Shemitah year, where everything is declared ownerless. Or v'klayim, or if he planted a plant in the plantation on the field that he's trying to assert his presence, that he has purchased his field, and therefore you consume it 3 years in a row and then you don't have to hold on to your document anymore to prove that it's yours. So he planted a klein, which is a forbidden mixture, but there are cases where the zemiris, the branches themselves, are not forbidden. So Rav Yehuda says, harizu chazaka, the consumption of these items for those 3 years is considered a chazaka, that one has shown that this is the person's things, and it's considered part of the 3 years, and that is there's halacha that you have to consume 3 consecutive years to prove that this is your field. Although, yes, once it was owned by that person, but you say, hey, you sold it to me. The guy says, what do you mean? How do you know I sold it to you? So the chazaka, presumptive that it's you purchased it, is if you consumed it for 3 years in a row. So Rav Yehuda says that even if all you did was take the branches from it, as you have by Arla, or that you could have by Klayim, that is considered chazaka. So you see that he considers that to be consumption, just like we find that halacha regarding chazaka for purchases, so do we find that regarding its consumption of the husband and his wife's estate, and therefore he wouldn't get reimbursed for his expenses. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chisda, he says, Hamaitzi haitzoyis al nichsi ishta ketana. And this is, we were discussing in our Mishnah on the previous daf regarding a husband expending money on his wife's estate. Now he says, however, if she's a minor, if you have a girl that's an orphan, that her father died, so her mother or brother could marry her off. However, there is halacha that she could be mamayin. It's only rabbinic marriage. So she could refuse the marriage up until she becomes an adult. So therefore, Rav Chisda says that a husband that expends money on his wife's estate that's a minor, it's kemitzi al nichsi achar dami. It has the same halacha qualification as someone that goes and spends money to better someone else's field unrelated to him. And the reason being is because if she's going to go ahead and do miyun, we evaluate what he bettered into the field, which is called the shvach, and then he, like a regular sharecropper, someone that goes into someone else's field that makes it better, and that person gets reimbursed for what they made the field better, so too he has the same halacha regarding a wife, which again is different than a regular wife if she's a minor. So my time, the Gemara asks, what's the difference if the wife is a minor or an adult? So that the Gemara explains, because abduba bar rabbanan takanta. The rabbis went and made a takana for such a husband to consider him like an aris, like a sharecropper, who takes a certain amount of the money of the increase of the value that was done through his work. Well, the reason being is because kiheicha dulei nefsadinu, so that there shouldn't be a loss to their estate. And the reason is because in the situation where he knows that she could go ahead and do mean, at any point in time she could leave the marriage. So he's just going to ruin the field, he's going to eat up all the produce, and not going to make it any better, because he's thinking any second she could go ahead and leave. Why am I investing in this field in the long term? Tomorrow she might leave, let me just go ahead and eat and just take whatever I want from the field. Now, however, once the rabbis went and gave him a status of an aris, of a sharecropper, so he's not going to ruin it anymore, because he's going to say, look, maybe she's not going to do me, and then this is going to be something I'm going to be able to have years out of it, so let me make it better. And even if she does miyun, I'm still going to take, according to the work that I put in, I'm going to take the shvach, how I made it better. And that's where the Chacham said, for such a husband, we consider ma'aris. A regular husband has a different halacha, as we said in the Mishnah, that if he has any achila, then all his expenses he doesn't get reimbursed for. But here, by the case of a katana, he's just going to ruin everything, and because of the concern that she might do miyun, and therefore we gave him a status as someone that goes to nichsi achar, which is like an aris, where he gets according to the shvach. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha, that hahi itza, there was a certain woman, the naflala arba meyer zuzi bechazoy, that she inherited 400 zuz in bechazoy, which is the name of a place, which was very far. Now azl gavra apik shis meyer. Now the husband went, and he spent 600 in his traveling expenses from his own money, and I see arba meyer. What do you bring back? Just 400. Now bahadi de kaasi. When he was on his way, he didn't have any money. He needed one zuz. The shokel minayu, when he took from the wife's money of the 400 zuz. So asla kamei d'ramami, he came in front of Rabami. So amalei, so he said to the husband, masha haitzi haitzi, what he spent, umasha ochel ochel, what he ate. In other words, he was comparing it to the halacha of our Mishnah that said, although he spent 600 and he only got 400, and he did this just to get his wife's things, and he went and just took one zuz, because he was broke, he was out of money, because he had no money, he had to take from his wife's 400. So he says, look, you took, and therefore whatever you spent equals out, and you lost everything. You're not going to get reimbursed for anything. But Amalei Rabban Rabami, but the rabbi said to Rabami, that it's not comparable to the halacha of our Mishnah. Hanu milihecha de ka'ochel peir. The halacha of our Mishnah was that, which is the rights of the husband, which we say that, look, what he spends gets canceled out by what he takes from the produce, which is the halacha of nichse miluk, that he eats the peiris. But ho'karna ka'ochel, here, it's a totally different halacha. Here, maybe it's considered a borrower, it was a loan, but here, he wasn't consuming the peiris of his wife's nichse miluk. He was actually taking from the principle itself. Moreover, v'hitzahi, here, it was actually part of the expenses itself. He was spending money to get there and back, the traveling expenses. So this wasn't his hana of peiris, it was actually his haitzahs of the principle. So that, as the Bach says, the Gir says, Amalahu, he said to them, Ibn Kain, if that's the case, you're right. Havale haitzi v'loi achal. Truth is, actually, this money that he took was actually an expense and not a consumption. So Yeshua kama haitzi v'itol, so he right, never ended up consuming, because he didn't take from any peiris, it was actually just from the Karen itself, and therefore he could swear how much he spent and he takes, because that's the halacha of Yeshua kama v'itol, if he never ate, and essentially he never ate because it was for expenses. Now the Mishnah said, as the halacha that we just ended off with, that Yeshua kama haitzi v'itol, if let's say he just spent money on his wife's estate, but never actually consumed any of the peiris, so he takes an oath how much he spent, and then he takes. Now Amar Basir Ba'asi says, V'hu, this that we said that he swears and he takes, is sheyesh shvach keneged haitzah, is when what he made the increase, how he bettered the field, equals, it correlates to how much he spent. Now, on that the Gemara asks, l'ma hilchasa. Exactly for what halacha did Rabasi mean when he said that the shvach has to be connected, has to correlate to how much he spent? As Rashi explains, there's two different, as we're going to see in the Gemara's answer, there's two different options that you could infer from what he's trying to say. Is he coming to say a leniency? And that is, if let's say he actually made the field better than how much he spent. Let's say he spent $100 and it increased in $1,000 worth. Then he does not need a shvuah. This, that, the Mishnah says, he has to take an oath if he wants to collect how much he spent. That's only if it's equal. But if he made it better than how much he spent, then he doesn't have to. Or is Ravasi actually saying a stringency and saying that if he spent more, and this is actually related to the previous story where he spent 600, he only got 400. If he spent more than how much he made it better, then he only takes according to how much he made it better, even if he's making an oath. And we don't say he swears how much he spent and then he takes, even though it's more than how much he increased the value of the wife's property. So therefore the Gemara's question is, Lama hilchasa, for what exactly is the halacha that Ravasi was inferring? So Om Abaya, Abaya says, which is the first option we said, as a leniency, Shem hoyu shvach, yeser al haitzah, that if what he made it better was more than how much he spent, no yitelesa haitzah b'lo yishvu. So then he could take the expenses without taking an oath. Now on that, Amalei Rava asked Abaya, Imkain, if that's the case, Asi l'rume, you're setting up a problematic situation, because he's going to come connivingly, and he knows how much he made the field better. He evaluated, he realized he made it better $1,000. Now he's going to go a little bit lower and say, you know what, I spent $900. And then, based on the way you're inferring the halacha, he's going to take the $900 without making an oath, because he's telling the expenses less than the increase in the value, even though maybe he really didn't spend that much. You're not making an oath. An oath puts a person in his place. Make sure he tells the truth. So therefore, if you're saying the halacha is that he doesn't have to make an oath, it's going to be a problematic situation. He's going to do harama. So Ela Amar Rava, rather Rava says, which was the second option, that this Rabasi said is actually coming to say astringency. Shem hoisa, hoitsa yiser ala shvach. And if let's say the expenses that he put in was more than how much he made out of it, he wasn't so successful in what he was trying to do, then we don't say he takes how much he spent. Rather, ein lo elo haitzah shir shabach. He only gets the expenses according to how much the increase that he made for the field, ubishvua, together with an oath that he has to swear that that's how much he spent. Now, on this the Gemara asks, ibailu, baal shahirid arisen tachtov, a husband that he didn't actually do any work in his wife's field. He actually hired workers, sharecroppers, to go ahead and do work in his wife's property, which is that they take either half the increase or a third of the increase. Then he divorced his wife. But before he divorced her, he also ate a little bit. He was ochal, he consumed. So then the Gemara's question is, Mahu, what's the halacha? Do the Arisen take according to how much they were mishabech the field? I mean, generally an Aris comes, and then he makes the field better, and then they share the profits. It's not his field, it's someone else's field, but he did the work. So he gets either a half the profits or a third of the profits. So the Gemara's question is, in this case, where the husband ate, then divorced his wife, would the Arisen take what they made it better or not? As the Gemara explains the question, Adait de Baal Noches, is it that when they came to work, who hired them? The husband hired them, not the wife. So they were coming based on a contractual agreement with him. Now, istalikli baal, once the husband has no rights in this field, and the reason being is because he was achal kimo, he consumed a little bit. Oh, as we said in the mission in the previous daf, you consume, you don't get any of your expenses that you put into the field back. So istalikli luhu, so they're also removed from the field, and they don't take anything, just like him, because they're basically an extension of him. He hired them. So they were just like the Mishnah says, Masha haitzi haitzi, Masha ochel ochel. Whatever you spent, whatever you ate, and that's the end of it. Since he ate, and they're an extension of him, so they don't get anything for what they expended. Like the Mother Gemara says, or maybe, adaita de aranachas. No, although the husband hired them, but essentially they weren't working for him, they're working for the land. The ara ki kaima, like we say kaima, and the field itself, if the husband wouldn't have hired the workers, she obviously would have had to hire workers, a reason to come work it, because somebody's got to work the field. And therefore, that she will have to reimburse the workers according to the shvach that they made, because essentially, it's who cares that the husband hired them, it's the field that needed it, and it's her field, and therefore, although he's out of the picture, she should have to pay them. Now, on this Gemara's question, the Gemara asks a question on one of the options. Maskevel Rava Bar Rav Chanan. He says, I don't understand the option about the first option saying that the workers don't get anything, just like the husband wouldn't get anything. But Maishno, why is it different than the halacha that we know, which is Mahayor L'Toich Sidei Chaveri? If somebody goes into somebody else's field, without permission, he plants something in that field. So Shamalai, we evaluate for him how much is it that he increased the value of the other person's field. The other al-tachtoin, he gets the lower end of the deal. In other words, whatever is less, whether how much he made it better or how much expenses went into doing what he did for the other person, he gets the lowest of the thing. I mean, he gets expenses according to how much the shvach was. As the Gemara says in Masechtas, but mitzi and perikos shel. Now, the question is, the first option, the way it was explained here in the Gemara, was saying that he doesn't get anything, just like the husband doesn't get anything. But how could he be any worse, this aris that was hired by the husband, as somebody that just goes into somebody else's field? And therefore this wife should have to at least give them the expenses. So the Gemara says no. Because Hasam, there the Gemara in Bava Metzia, is told Maleke Inish Tatarach. There is nobody that's going to do any work for this person's field. Now this person sees it, nobody's doing anything. So he says, look, I'm going to help out this person. And he goes down and he puts money and work into that field. Now therefore, he gets at least the lowest of the two, either how much he put in the expenses, or how much he increased the value of that person's field, how much shevach went into it. But hacha ikabal datarach. But here, where there was a husband, he could have done the work in the field, and therefore the wife tells the workers, look, you're not even getting expenses. You're not getting even the minimum that you get if someone goes into some random person's field. Because had you not done the work, then he would have done the work, and my husband should have been doing work. And therefore, you don't take anything because you didn't do me any favors. There, it's a favor. Whether the shavach or the hitzah, whatever it is, the person should have to get back. But here, you didn't do me any favor because the husband should have done it, and therefore, you're not getting anything. That explains the option of the first side of the Gemara's question. So the Gemara therefore asks, so Mahavallah, so what is the conclusion of this question? Now that we understand the first option, what is it? Are they totally removed like the husband, as we just explained, or is it that they do get because it was la'ar nachas? So Amar Rav Huna b'Rid Rishua, he says, Chazinan, let's see, similar to how the Gemara just explained the Gemara's first option. Ibal Arasu, if the husband is an Aras, in other words, he knows agriculture, he knows how to plant, and therefore had these workers not come, he would have had to do the work himself. So istalik lebal, so then when the husband is removed, meaning when he divorces her and he had already consumed, so istalik lehu, so therefore they're also removed. In other words, just as we explained the Gemara Bava Metzia before, because she could tell them, look, you caused me a loss, because had you workers not come down over here, so then he would have gone and done the work, and then I wouldn't have lost anything, because he's out of the picture, even if he would have spent millions of dollars, because he ate even just $10 worth. So therefore, you didn't do me any favors. Unlike a random person who goes into someone else's field who did a favor, gets something. You didn't do me any favor, and therefore they're totally removed. If the husband has a green thumb, he doesn't have green, he doesn't know how to do any of the work, then then the truth is that the land was ready and ripe for a worker to do it. And therefore then they will get the shvach, they will get what they increase, because if the husband had not hired them, she would have hired them, and therefore they do get the shvach. So it depends on the abilities of the husband, if he was an oris or not. Nibailu, they had the following question. Bal shemochar karka. If the husband sells his wife's nichsi milug, the property, which again the keren, the principal, the land itself is owned by the wife, he's not allowed to do anything with it. Now, so the land is hers, but he sells it leperis. He sells it to a purchaser who he's giving the rights to work the field, which was what the husband could do, what's called peiris, called the utility, to work it, to be able to then have the produce from it, and then the husband's getting the monetary income from that sale. Ma, what's the halacha? Zigmo explains the question. Mi amrinan mai dekani akne. Do we say that what the husband acquired, which is the peiris of the field, which is work in the field, getting the peiris, so then akne, he could go ahead and then sell that to someone else, and therefore it will be a valid sale. Oidemo, maybe that no. And this will qualify the scope of this halacha of nechse milug. When is it that the rabbis instituted that the husband gets the utility, gets the derivative, the peiros of the wife's principal? That was only as we continue in Tamid Beis, because of the increase of the expansiveness that there is now in the home, meaning that the husband will bring the produce to the house. Now there's a surplus of food that's around, and therefore, although that's going to the husband, but it'll be good for her too. But for the husband to sell it, that no, because the wife gets no benefit out of that. That's just him. Now he has pocket change. He could go ahead and do whatever he wants with it. Maybe they we didn't give the payers to the husband. So we have a machlokes. Yehuda Mar Ba Mareimer Mishmei De Rava Amar. I mean, Yehuda Mar, the son of Mareimer, he said in the name of Rava, that Masha also what was done is done. It is a valid sale. Rav Papa Amar Mishmei De Rava. He has a different version, name of Rava. He says, no, he hasn't done anything. Now, Amr Rav Papa, who is the second opinion stated in the name of Rava, he says that actually, Hada Yehuda Mar Bar Meremer, this version that Yehuda Mar Bar Meremer said in the name of Rava that it is a valid sale, is Lam Befeir Shitmer. Actually, it wasn't explicitly said by Rava. In other words, he didn't really hear from Rava this halacha, that Masha Asa, that it's valid. El Machlala Itmer, it was only inferred by him, and therefore it's actually mistaken, and it's like me, that the halacha is actually Lo Asa B'Lokum. And the reason is because he heard the following incident. There was a certain woman who brought in from her nichsi milug, she had two maidservants, which were not evaluated niksuba, meaning which would make it nichsi tzarn barzel, which would be the property of the husbands, and he just has to give her back the same thing when she gets divorced or gets widowed. But up until then, it's all his. He were talking about nichsi milug, which is hers. The principle is hers. It's just that the utility of it, the payers, is allowed to be for the husband. So she brought into the marriage two maidservants. Azal gavra nasavit zachriti. So the man sees, hey, he has two maidservants, he has just one wife, he gets married to another woman. Ay lalo chadimin ayu. So when he then took one of the maidservants, the second one, to serve the second wife. So the first wife came, lekameh de Rava tzvachet. She came screaming and shouting in front of Rava and saying, what's going on over here? I brought this into my marriage, and then he takes one of them and uses it for the other wife? So Lashkechba, he didn't pay attention to her. He didn't say that it's a problem what the husband's doing. Now, that Rapapa says, Man dechaz desava, Yehuda Mar Bamarema, who saw this, he thought that Mishum desava, because he thought that Rava held, Masha Asa Asai, that what's done is done. In other words, even if the husband gives it to a different woman for her to use it, it's the utility of the maidservant, which is his rights. He could do whatever he wants with it. And therefore, just like he could give it as a sale, he could go ahead and give it to the other wife, because the peiros, the utility of it, is his. And that's why Mar Bar Meremer said in the name of Rava that you see that it's not necessarily for Revach Beisa, even if it's not coming to any gain to the wife. Actually, it's her co-wife, which is even worse. It doesn't make a difference. It's the husband's rights. On that, Rav Papa says, Velohi, actually, it was a mistake. And the truthfully is because Mishum Revach Beisa, that the truth is that Rava held that the purpose of the takana of peiros is that there's going to be increase in the house, meaning not just for the husband, but also for his wife, who brought in the nechsim malug. But v'ha karavach, the mistake that Marba Meremer had made was because actually there was an increase in the household, because that other maidservant who's primarily designated for the other wife will be doing things around the house, and therefore in a general way will be helping out the wife who brought in the nechsim malug, and therefore there's going to be revach beisa. And therefore he says that it's a mistake what Marba Meremer had inferred from that halachic case of Rava, and rather the halach is like me. And the Gemara says, v'hilchas and halach is, Baal Shemach Karkala Paris, the husband that sells the wife's land to a purchaser to be able to utilize the produce, lo yasav lekum. He hasn't done anything because there's no revach beisa there. The wife's not gaining anything. The whole point of the Paris is that he brings it home and now they're all eating together and she gains from it. But there, where he's giving it to someone else, the wife's not gaining anything and therefore it's not valid. Now, that the Gemara is my time. What's the reason of the halacha? So the Gemara introduces a new halacha, meaning up until now we had Rava's reasoning, as we had quoted from Rav Papa, but the Gemara says Abayam. He says Cheshin and Shemetaksa. We're concerned that the purchaser is going to totally just kill the whole field, and the reason is because he's not going to bother this purchaser to go ahead and fertilize it and make it better, because he's going to think that tomorrow they're going to take it away from me because the land itself is not mine; it's the wife's land. It's this that I bought it from the husband is only for utility. So therefore, he's saying, you know, let me just get what I can get out of it. I'm not going to make it better for the long term. Now, that stands in contrast to the husband, who he anticipates that maybe his wife is going to die before him, and then he inherits the actual land itself. He's going to make it better. However, by lekeach, the bias is specifically for that type of halacha, there he cannot sell it. And the reason being is because the buyer is not going to make it better. It's going to ruin it, and we don't want the wife to have her principal get ruined, and that's why it's not valid. Whereas Rav Am, as we had quoted before, two different versions, and the concluding version is, as we said from Rapapa, Mishum Revach Pesa, because the reason why a sale doesn't work is a more general halacha. Just like we said by the maidservants, is that it's only because of Revach Pesa where there's some benefit to the wife. Selling it to someone else, that is no benefit for the wife, and therefore that's not going to be valid. So the Gemara is my by now, what's the practical difference between Abaye's interpretation and Rav's interpretation for this halacha of why the husband cannot sell it, Leperis, to a purchaser? So there's a few differences. One difference is if the land that the wife had brought in, this nechsim malug, is close to where they live, where they constantly can see what the purchaser is doing with it, if it's getting ruined or not, and therefore, according to Rava, it's not going to be a valid sale because there's still no benefit. But according to Abaye, that he's going to ruin it, there they're going to see if he'll ruin it or not, and therefore they'll be able to make sure that he doesn't. So therefore, according to Abaye, in that case, there actually would be a valid sale. Inami, another difference is if the husband, in this case where he's selling it to someone else, the field, meaning that he's selling the peiros of the field to a purchaser, and that but the husband himself is going to be the sharecropper for that person that he's selling it to. And essentially what he's doing is that he's going to give the peiros that he's working on his wife's field to that purchaser. So according to Abaye, it's going to be permitted because obviously it's not going to get worse because the husband's working and he's going to make sure to fertilize it because he's hoping that maybe the wife's going to die before him and then he inherits the land. And therefore, according to Abaye, it's valid, but according to Rav, it's not going to be valid because the peiros are not coming home, so there's no revach beisa. Or inami, a third ramification would be zuzi, where if the husband goes and the money that he made by selling the land for the peiros from the purchaser, the ka'avid b'hu iska, and he does business with that money, and he makes money from that, and then he brings home more money home, and then there's more food, and there's more help around. So then, according to Rav, in this case, that would be permitted, because it's going to be revach beisa, because he's using it to be able to make money from the money that he made out of that. Whereas again, according to Abaye, however, that would not work again, because the buyer still might ruin the land, and we want to make sure our principal stays in a good shape, and therefore according to Abaye will not be valid, but according to Rava it would be a valid sale. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of this parak of Isha Shanaflu, regarding a woman that inherits something. What's her status regarding selling this Nechse Milog in regards to her husband who has rights of payers? Now this Mishnah says a slightly different type of a case. Shemiris Yavam Shanaflu Nechasim. What happened is that her husband died without any children. Now she's anticipating to have Yibum from her husband's brother, And at the time, before her husband's brother gets a chance to do Yibum, where when he does Yibum, she becomes like a regular wife. But in this interim period, when she's a Shemeres Yavam, she inherits Nechasim. Then she inherits properties. Now, on that, the Mishnah says that Moedim Beishami U Beishil, that even Beishil would agree to Beishamai, Shemecheres V'Nesenes V'Kayim, that since the Shemeres Yavam is not married to the husband. Now, moreover, although we had in the previous Mishnah that Beishil holds that by an Arusa, who she's only engaged, that she cannot sell, here Beishil would agree to Beishamai that she could sell it and it's a valid sale. And the reason is because although by an Arusa, she's not married yet, and there's no Paris yet for the husband, but Arison is a step before leading to Nisuin, so even then Beisil would hold you cannot sell, but by Shemeres Yavam, there's no guarantee. He didn't decide yet. He might do Chalitza. He might never consummate this relationship. And therefore, since there's only a doubt if he's going to do Yibim or not, even Beisil would agree that she could sell it at that time. Now the Mishnah continues in a related discussion. Mesa, if she dies as a Shemeres Yavam. So there's a few different questions. What do we do with certain properties that relate to her, that should be given to her, that's hers already? Ma yasu biksubasa. So first of all, what do we do with her kesuba? Meaning, there is a kesuba that her original husband had written to her, which is a besula gets 200 zuz, a mona gets 100 zuz, and maybe there's tisefes that he added on to that. So that's, first of all, what do we do with that kesuba? Moreover, in the kesuba, there's also a nedunya, which is called, it's a dowry that she brought into the marriage, where it was evaluated in the ksuba and he accepted responsibility for that, but then he could go ahead and use it as he pleases, which is commonly called nichsi term basel. What do we do with her ksuba and the term basel, which is part of the ksuba? The ksuba we generally call what he wrote to her, but in the ksuba is also written what she brought to him. And moreover, the third item that's up for question is, what do we say about the properties that come in with her and leave with her, which is a reference to nichsi milug, because they're not evaluated in the ksuba at all, and therefore he can't use that principle at all. He just gets to use the pairs, as we've been discussing. And rather, therefore, when she comes into the property, she comes in with them. When she leaves with them because it's just hers. So what do we do with her ksuba, nichsi term barzel, and the nichsi miluk? So Bishami say, Yachluku yersha habalam yersha av. He says that the inheritors of the husband, which is a reference to the yavam, because he inherits his dead brother's estate when he does Yibum to his wife, he splits it with the inheritors of the father. Now, the Gemara Masechtas Yevamos in Perek HaChelitz explains, first of all, according to Bishamai, what's the difference that in the ratio that we just discussed, when she's still alive as a Shemeres Yavam, where Bishamai does not argue that the Yavam has no rights at all into the properties, and therefore she could sell it as she pleases, the Nichsi Milug, and whereas in the Seif over here, when she suddenly dies in the same status of a Shemeres Yavam, Bishamai says suddenly that the Yershe HaBal, meaning the Yavam, gets to split it. So over there in Masechet Yevamos, the Gemara explains over there why would that be, why should that be any difference if you're saying Shemeres Yavam, the Yavam does not have any rights in her, yet suddenly when she dies, then the Yershe HaBal, which is the Yavam, has some rights. Moreover, the Gemara in Yevamos there explains also that when Bishamai say Yachluku Yersha Abalam Yersha Av, that they split it, meaning there's two sides, there's the husband's side and the wife's side. Inheritors of the husband is the Yavim, inheritors of the wife is her father and her family. That actually it's only talking about Nichse Miluk. But the Yersha Av do not split with the Ksuba together with the Yersha Habal. Now, although in the Reisha it said opening Mayasu biksubasa, what should they do with her ksuba, which is a reference to the ksuba and the term basil, actually, as the Gemara in Yevamos there explains, that it was mentioned, but it wasn't addressed. And this that Beis Shammai is saying, Yachalku Yersha Balam Yersha Av, is actually only in reference to the Nichsi Melug, but in regard to the Nichsi term basil and a ksuba, Beis Shammai actually would agree to Beis Hill that we're saying right now. Now, Beis Hill and Beis Hill say that Nechosim, which is a reference to the Nichsi term basil, they are Bechezkasim. They retain their original presupposed positioning. Now, actually, the Gemara Baba Basra in Perek Mishnah Meis of Kofen and Chesem and Beis actually explains, so who is it that had a Chazaka on the Nichsi Tzern Basel up until now? What is it in the Chazaka of the Yershe HaBal? meaning that the Yavam gets it, because since the responsibility, all liability of the Nechzitzer and Barzel was the husband's, so therefore it's in his chazakah, or is it actually in the chazakah of the Yersha Isha, because actually it's hers. When she gets divorced, she gets it back, it's really hers. So actually that's a discussion, a machlik is in Masechtas Baba Basra. But either way, it's the Nechzitzer and Barzel retains the original chazakah. Moving along, uksuba, the ksuba itself, which is what the husband writes to when he gets married to his wife, which is a mana for almana or 200 zuz for a basula, and the teisevis, what he adds on. So that's what was coming that the husband has, that he has to pay out to the wife. So that's becheskes yershabal. So that retains in the original chazakah of who up until now had that money. It was the husband. Then when she collects, then she goes and has to get from them. So up until now, the chazakah is in his domain. So therefore, the yavam gets to hold on to that money. Now, finally, third of all, nechasim anachnasim ayitzinimav, regarding the nechsi mulug, so that's becheskes yershav. So that's in the chazakah of the inheritors of the father. And the reason being is because that was always hers. The principle, the husband had no rights whatsoever. And that's the halacha that Beis Hillel argues in Beis Shammai. Although Beis Shammai said that they split it, Beis Hillel say no, retains the original chazakah, and who was the machzik and the nechsim alug up until now? It was the woman, and therefore her inheritors, the Yersha Av, get to take that. Now, moving along, a related halacha, Hanich Achiv Mois, if the brother, the dead brother of the Yavam, left over money, so Yilokach ben Karka, the halacha is that they purchased land with that money, Vuhu Eichel Peres, and the Yavam, he inherits his brother's estate when he does yibum to the widow, so he eats the peiros, but he cannot consume it. It's not his own money, and rather that money has to be take that money and buy land with them. The reason is because, as Rashi explains, the yavama's ksuba is actually not with her new husband, with the yavam. It's actually incumbent upon the estate of her first husband, as the Gemara teaches on later. Now, therefore, the estate of her departed husband is responsible for her ksuba. Now, because of that, we have to maintain the estate, because she has to collect from somewhere. So we buy land with that. But the Yavam eats the peiros if he does yibum tar, because essentially he's really the one inheriting his brother's estate. Now, moreover, what we see from this opinion in the Mishnah is that the Tana holds that metaltilin, meaning even movable items like money, which is what we're talking about, becomes meshubed tar ksuba. So the money is meshubed. So to maintain that, but still the yavam to be able to use it, we buy land with it, so it's still there. She could collect the ksuba from it, from the second husband, from the yavam. And however, but the yavam gets to use it. Now similarly, peris hatlushin min hakarka, if you have produce that's detached from the land when the husband dies, and now the yavam is doing yibum, so again, similar to money, yiloka ben karka, he purchases land with it, v'hu echel peris, and the yavam consumes the produce. Now, however, hamachubar in bekarka, if there's produce that's attached to the land when he's doing yibum, so similar to like we had in the previous Mishnah, Amr Meir, he says, shaman oisin kamehein yafin beperis. So we evaluate how much more is this land worth with the peris, but kamehein yafin belay peris, how much less would they be worth without the produce, v'amoyser, and the difference, since this is part of the departed husband's estate, which is meshubah to the woman's ksuba, and we have to maintain that, so yiloka ben karka, so we purchase land with that, v'oichel peris, and he eats the produce of that. And the reason for this is because Remeir holds, whatever grew in the first husband's, his brother's, the one who died's estate, they have a liability for the ksuba. V'chachamayim, they argue, they'll know the peiros hamachubar b'karka, even produce that's attached to the land, is actually shaloi. It's actually his. It's considered the peiros, which the Gemara is going to ask on this, why should that be his if it actually was part of the estate when the husband died, and therefore that should be meshubed. Why could the yavam go ahead and consume that? Hatlusha min hakarka, and moreover, the chum argued Remeir regarding when the produce was detached from the land, that actually, not like Remeir said, that you go ahead and you purchase land with that, and then the husband could only eat the peiros, but rather the chacham hold that whoever gets it first merits in those produce. Kadam hu zacha, if he gets there first, he gets to keep it. Kad mehi yilakach ben karka, if she gets it first, then you have to purchase land with it, and then he eats the produce from that. And the reason being is because the Rabban hold not like Reb Meir, they hold that actually metaltalin, which is what detached produce is and money is not meshubed to a ksuba. Only if she went and she grabbed it. Moreover, she has to grab it and take a hold of it when her husband's still alive, as the Gemara teaches on later on Daf in Perakah Kaisa Daf Pedalama Beis. And therefore, essentially, their machlekes is also not just regarding this case of Peris Talushim, but also regarding money, because there's no difference between the two of them. They're both considered metaltalin. Now, the Mishnah moves on and says, Kenasa. So up until now, we were talking about Shemeris Yavam, when she's anticipating Yibum. But Kenasa, when he finally marries her, Harei Kishla L'Chaldav, then she's considered like a wife in all practical senses of that. And the Gemara will explain what relevance does that halacha have. Now, Bolvad, the only difference where she's different than a regular wife, it should take ksubas al nechse ba'ala rishin. When she comes to collect her ksuba, let's say she gets divorced, she doesn't go to the yavim, she goes to her departed husband's estate. Now, moreover, lo yomrla, the yavim should not tell to his wife, harei ksubasayich menachas al ha-shulchan. Look, your ksuba is on the table. When you want to leave, when we're going to divorce, it's on the table, you can go ahead and take it. Ella, rather, kol nechasav, rather actually all the estate, whatever he inherited from his brother, acharen l'ksubasa, all of it is liable for the ksuba. It's not just this, what he's saying, oh, that's designated for you. When you leave, you're going to take that money. Similar, b'chein lo yemer adam le'ishtay, a regular man should never tell his wife, not just by a yivama, harei ksubasayich menechas al ha'shulchan, here, this is your ksuba. When you're going to leave, this is the money you're taking. Rather, all his estate is liable for her ksuba, not just what he's designating over here on the table. Now, girsha, if the yavam divorces his yavama after he had consummated relationship with her and been the husband, ein lo el ksuba, she only gets a ksuba. Now, what essentially that's trying to say is, however, as long as he didn't divorce her, then all his brother, meaning her previous husband's estate, is meshubet to her, and he's not allowed to sell anything. But the moment he divorces her, all she gets is the ksuba. Now he can do whatever he wants with his brother's estate. Now, Hechsira, now if he remarries her after he had done Yibum, divorced her, and now he remarries her, Hare he could call her Nashim, she's like a regular woman, ve'en lo elik ksuba balvad, and therefore she only has the first ksuba itself, which is that we learn later on in the Mishnah, that says if someone divorces his wife and he remarries her without having paid the original ksuba, so he's actually remarrying her with the intention of the old ksuba, not for a new ksuba, based on the previous ksuba. And therefore we're saying that when he remarries her, she's like a regular woman where she only has the original ksuba. And the Gemara is going to ask, so why do we have to say the specific halacha for Yavama? Why would it be any different? She becomes his wife as normal when he does Yibam. Now when he divorces her and he didn't pay the ksuba, why would we think when he's remarrying her, that she should be any different than the halacha we say later on in the Mishnah, which is by any woman, that if he divorces her and never gave her ksuba and he remarries her, it's based on the understanding of that now her new ksuba is really the old ksuba that he didn't give her from the first marriage.